Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. I thought it was amazing. He said, Dad's away and we're going to do all the stuff that freaks him out. I just thought that was hilarious. But we're going to behave this morning. We're just going to preach the gospel. Amen. Hey, how y'all doing? Wow, there's an army out there, huh? I'm like, what? That's an army, huh? So I'm honored. I'm humbled to be here. There's a lot of folks here. Listen, this is really an army. I mean, when you think about the Bible, God, he wants to lower the numbers so it's all of him, right? I'm looking out here. I'm thinking you guys could overtake this city. You really could if we start living this life. Like, John, you just convicted me. Like, I thought, this is good. I can spring right off of this. Like, well, you said two things that got me going. Like, I don't have to hear much to feel like I want to preach something. But you mentioned cloud of witnesses, and I was gonna probably read that. I don't know if I will, but then he said something that really grabbed me. He said, you all know me. I used to sit back here and play the guitar. So he's in the right place. His heart's sincere to some level. He sees Jesus as the Lord. He's born again, I'm sure. But he said something happened. He's here. He's here. He's in the right place. He's sitting for years playing the guitar. He's in the right place. We're all here. We're in the right place. But then something happened. I think that's amazing. See, it's all about growing up into him in all things. It's all about living what he paid for. Not getting from him what we hope, but living what he paid for. Paul said that he wanted to lay a hold of the very reason that Jesus laid a hold of him. There's an intention God has when he bought us out for his glory. He wants to put himself in us, transform us on the inside, and then begin to live through us in an everyday way. It's called born again. Somehow we've made born again a passport to heaven, a prayer we pray and we sign up. And when the trumpet blows, we know our destination. That is not born again. Born again is becoming a new creation, old things passing away and all things becoming new. So that means everything that I was, the way I thought, my reason for being, my perspective, my attitude before Christ has to be challenged and changed by the truth that's coming into my life. Are you with me? Come on, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and that's the way we were taught by our whole lives. We were all homeschooled in the wrong home. No, we all went to the wrong school. We were born into the wrong school. Wrong teachers, everything was wrong. It was all perverted. It was all perverse. You and me were born into self-centeredness, self-centered seeking. You and me didn't even know who we were. Life was trying to show us our value and who we were. And most of us got busted up at a young age and had no clue who we were at a very young age. Hurt, broken, introverted, hard, angry fighter, whatever. Life was trying to decide us and form us because none of us, when we were born, had a clue who we were. Because we were born into Adam. We weren't born into him. We were born into separation from God. We were estranged from him. And every one of us was empty on the inside. It had no clue who we were. Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. You needed love. You needed support. You needed attention. You needed valued. And most of us didn't get most of those things on that needs list. Yeah? Because we were born into a lie. And you must be born again, and somehow we turn born again into a beneficial message that takes me to heaven and God intervenes and blesses my life and fills my vats and barns and protects my loved ones. That's what we've turned the message into at large. I'm not blaming you, saying you in this house. Just make sure that's not your message. God is way bigger and has a way bigger plan than that. He wants you to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, lay down your life, love not your own life unto death. Never be a Christian for you, be a Christian for his great name. And challenge everything that you were born into in Adam and see it change because you were born back into Christ. See, what's of flesh is flesh, but what's of spirit is spirit. We must be born again. Guys, I promise you, it's way more than a prayer to go to heaven. Yeah? Yeah? Like, this isn't church. This is a gathering place. You're blessed to have it. What a great facility. Your team is amazing. I've been so impressed with the people around here all weekend. I'm like, you guys are on it. You're like a well-oiled machine, man. I mean, it's really good. Like, it's amazing. So I'm looking at the church. I'm looking at her right now. So we got to make sure we never just do good church, that we are her. So we come here, but we live there. You get what I'm saying? Come on, we just come here. The whole reason we gather here, Hebrews says the only reason we're really gathering here, now there's a lot of reasons for the local church when it's healthy, And I believe you guys are healthy. So here, let's just expand this thing. The main reason we gather today isn't because it's 9:30 and we attend this church. The main reason we gather today is in order to stir one another in love and good works. So this is like a huddle of focus and vision and making sure you're staying in the race so you run it well. Because you're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. You're supposed to make sure you're awake and not asleep, right? Yeah? So that's why we're here. We're here. So they're letting me speak. You gave me a mic, Jonathan. So I'm going to do my best to stir you in love and good works in the little bit of time I have. Okay? So hang with me. Don't get mad at me. Might be a little sharp at times, right? Because listen, when you're a Christian for yourself, it's not fun. Christianity's not fun. You're up and down. You're in a quandary. You're not even sure where God is. You got more questions and you have revelation. And your life's not blessed because you're self-conscious. And somehow you got the idea that it's just all about God taking care of you instead of God coming into you and making you brand new so you can walk in the light as He's in the light. Yeah? So that means every attitude has to be challenged. Everything that doesn't produce life has to be challenged. Every time you live at the expense of another person has to be challenged. All of a sudden you're here to give life and bring life, not make a draw on life, because the giver of life is on the inside of you. Are you following me? Come on, this is Christianity. So all of a sudden in my marriage, all of a sudden I don't want to contribute to animosity. All of a sudden I don't want to contribute to friction. I'm not praying for a fire to go out and then throwing a dry log on the thing. I'm going to wake up every day and be loved by Him and love Him and just love the people around me. That's why I'm a Christian. I promise you. That's why you're a Christian. I promise you. So if you don't totally understand it, I'm just going to help you with that. You're a Christian to shine. You're not a Christian to be blessed and get your prayers answered. You're a Christian to shine. And even in the midst of adversity, you're a Christian to manifest His great name. And when people do you wrong, you're not called to walk around done wrong. You've been done so right, it overrides being done wrong. Yeah? So all of a sudden you're done wrong and you see different. Nobody owes you a thing. You know, owe no man anything but to love. And all of a sudden you're living in Christ. You're walking in Christ. And all of a sudden people see something different about you. You mentioned my workplace. I was working. I was just one of the guys for 13 years. Just one of the guys. And I must have had one of them experiences this man had when he's back up playing that guitar, because in a moment I was changed. And now my coworkers had to deal with this new guy. Oh, it was fun. Because I was just one of the guys. I said four curse words to say two English words, because that's cool. That's what you do in the warehouse. You're just mean. You're rough. You're tough. And you just blankety bleepity blip, and then you say an English word. Blank, blank, beep, English word. It's just weird. And all of a sudden, I'm not even trying not to swear. It's just not even in me. All of a sudden, my whole everything changes, and they're just like, well, you're brainwashed. Like you're in a cult. Like what happened to you? Who got a hold of you? You're in hooked with wrong people. And I'm like, I didn't hook up with nobody. I was back there doing my job in the corner of the dairy box in the aisle. And I got overtaken. You know what the Lord did? He came, because I grew up in church. I grew up and I always heard that, you know, Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner. And I need to come to Him. I need to pray this prayer, because when He comes, I better have prayed this prayer, because if I didn't pray this prayer, I'm not going to heaven. And if I'm not in church, I better be in church when He comes. And I thought, wonder if He comes and we're not having service. Like, I was a kid. I was scared about some of this stuff. I was here. Nobody ever taught me His goodness. Nobody ever said He wanted to have a relationship with me. They just said I'm a sinner. Well, I already knew that at a young age. So by the time I heard the message over and over, at best, I'm a hopefully forgiven sinner. Nobody ever told me I could be a son. Nobody ever said Jesus was bringing me back to the Father. Nobody ever said Holy Spirit wanted to live inside of me and ravage me and change me and transform me and shine through me. Nobody told me I could actually walk in love. They just said I'd always be the way I am, and you ought to be glad He considers you. Anybody have that idea growing up? That you're just the way you are, and He's a mystery, and it's amazing He did what He did for us, and you owe Him now, but you can't really pay Him? That growl wasn't at people. It was at a lie. So we're going to bust it up a little bit. So here I am for years. I don't even go to church anymore because I feel bad. I can't even watch a Jesus movie because I believe in him. I believe he did what he did, but I can't understand why he did it for me. I don't want to watch a crucifixion movie because I feel like I put him there and I'm still putting him there. So you just get in denial. You ignore. You shut off. So I just quit going to church. So I had my little wife and house and car, and it was all little, and she's little. I had everything was little and I was 20 years old, and I just stopped going to church. I didn't need church. She cried because I told her I was a Christian when we met. It just worked. I figured it would help the cause. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I live in America. I'm probably a Christian. I don't know. She should have saw in the half hour I wasn't a Christian. It's easy to say you're a Christian. Christian means Christ-likeness. See, if all you ever do is bring your kids to church because you think Christians need to go to church, but you're not pursuing Christ outside of church, then you're inadvertently teaching your kids that Christianity is church attendance, not Christ-likeness. And then we get desensitized and we just do all the things we always do, and we argue and fight over where we're going to eat, and we have animosity in the house, and at service time, we know how to do it. And that takes a toll on everybody and on every family and on every young person, I promise you. Don't you take it lightly and think, oh, it's normal, everybody's like that. You're not going to find that in my home anymore, not because of me. I'm not boasting on me, because of him, because of understanding, because of truth, because I died to myself. He taught me to die to myself. He didn't want me to pray a prayer. He wanted me to die, because only when I die can he live. Yeah? Come on, people, just bear with me this morning. Let me get a little intense. I got one crack at you. Just give me one crack. I just want one crack. All right? Because I can tell I'm in a whole different crowd than I was all weekend. I see there's a whole different crowd. I see people I haven't seen all weekend. So I got one crack at you. You're not a Christian for your sake. You're a Christian for his great name. Nobody on this earth owes you a thing. You say, well, yeah, but my spouse said this and that. I thought you said you love her. I thought you said you love him. Love lays down its life. Love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account, no account, takes no account of the wrong done to it. Then why are we so busted up by each other? Because we're still living by need. We're still finding ourselves through each other. We're still in identity shortage and crisis, and we aren't finding ourselves through him. And I love you actually means I need you. Don't do me wrong. That's why there's so much pain in relationships. That's why there's so much hurt in marriages. That's why so many marriages start off good and generate two or three kids, and then right when the heat of family is there on the earth, they can't function anymore. It's a tragic, familiar scene on the earth. It's because I love you is really I need you. It takes two to tango. It takes one to pursue peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the sons of God. Yeah? You ought to hear the counsel that I hear from even some fellow pastors and things. When times are tough and people are in trouble and they tell you, well, you can only take that so long. Well, you should probably move on. Well, you know there. Well, you can't always. Well, people have their will. And it's always self-preservation. It's always about, the counsel's always to protect individuals instead of manifest Christ. Wonder if Jesus had the idea to just let go of you. Wonder if Jesus just said, you know what? I gave you plenty of time to change. I'll just forget you're even there. Wonder if Jesus let go of you. My wife got in trouble for 8 years. 8 years. And I didn't know how to let go because this thing is burned in me. She got in trouble for 8 years. She wanted to die. I'm a local full-time pastor. She won't even come to church. And I don't understand the pressure of that. I love her. She's in trouble. She needs Jesus, and he's in me. Now is not time to be a frustrated husband. Now is time to manifest everything I say I believe. How's that for straight talk? The last thing we need is more theology. The last thing we need is another sermon. We need people that wake up dead so they can live. We need people that no matter what's going on and who's doing what and saying what, they already got their download from him and they already know why they're here. They know why they're awake. Nobody owes them a thing. And they're going to walk in the light as he's in the light, unmovable, unshakable, more than conquerors. Yeah? It's all scriptural. What's it all mean? Is it just high talk in the high note of a song so we all get excited in the room? Or is it so we walk it out where the rubber meets the road? And when your spouse is going off the deep end, when your child runs away, your heart is totally intact because you understand your place and you know why you're alive, and you're not a Christian for God to make sure everything you're concerned about goes the way you hope. You're alive so you can manifest Him in the midst of the chaos. You're alive so you can walk in peace in the midst of craziness. You're alive so you can shine when darkness is rampant. Yeah? I promise you, it's exactly how Jesus lived. And He said, follow me, not sing to me. No, I love singing to Him. I do it all the time. But He said, follow me. Yeah? Come on, what's that look like? Follow me. I know it doesn't look like this, carrying the cross to Golgotha, and all of a sudden analytically assessing the whole process and dropping the cross halfway to the goal and saying, I've had enough, I'm done, I'm finished. I'm telling you, they've just been hitting me and beating me, and all I've ever done is good. God, all I've ever done is good. You know all I've done is good. I've healed so many people. If they didn't change by now, they are probably not going to change. And I'm having a hard time wondering why we even care in the first place at this point. In fact, Barabbas, are you kidding me? Barabbas kills a man. I raise the dead. They want to kill me. He's causing conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace. They want to kill me. Duh, I am not doing it. I'm done. They're whacked, and I ain't doing it. He doesn't even know how to think like that. So He never taught us to think like that. He doesn't even know how to think like that. So we didn't learn any of that from Him. We didn't learn discouragement from Him. We didn't learn frustration from Him. We didn't learn offense from Him. But we've been succumbed to thinking it's normal human behavior. It's called the fall of man. It's called Adam in us. And it's time to be born again. See, if you're offended, you're not shining. If you're discouraged, you're not shining. And you're called to let your light so shine before men. If your rent's not paid and you can't worship Jesus and see the beauty of who He is and you're questioning His goodness, then you don't understand the gospel. If your rent is paid and you got both hands high shouting hallelujah on Sunday, you're just living with a busboy or a genie. He's a father. I've watched our countenances change, people. I'm not saying you. I'm talking church. I've watched us live like this. And it's never the Christian life. It's never highs and lows and ups and downs. The day of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. We're ascending into Him, faith to faith, glory to glory. I see Him clearer than I've ever seen Him before. I know Him more than I knew Him yesterday. He's amazing, and I'm increasing, and He's growing in my life. You get it? Come on. I don't even want the ability to change my mind about you, because He never changed His mind about me. And on my darkest day, He didn't lose sight of who I'm called and created to be, and love never failed. I don't ever want to judge you by the cover. I don't ever want a first impression to stick in my heart. I don't ever want to see you for what you seem to be. I want to see you for what you're created to be, and that makes it easy to love you. Are you with me? Come on. I pastored for too long. Too many counseling appointments are people struggling with people, hurt, pain, hardship, can't get along, friction. That's all the counseling appointments. And you know what it proves to me? That we don't understand the gospel. And somehow we think He's here for our sake instead of we're here for His namesake. And we haven't allowed that self-centered lie that came through Adam to be crushed through the beauty of the gospel. Selfishness is a wretch. It's a lie. It's anti-kingdom. Selfishness is anti-love. There's no selfishness in love, and there's no love in selfishness. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, if any of you are going to come after me, there's one thing you got to do if you're going to follow. You got to deny yourself. Why? Because not one of us in this room was made for theirself. We were all made for his image. We were all made to house him and manifest him till the whole earth was full of his glory.
Wow. I finally get it. That's what's wrong with me. I get it. Yay. My wife doesn't owe me a thing. My kids can't break my heart.
I love them. And I'm going to lay down my life to manifest Jesus and bring out the best in everybody around me, whether they want him or not.
You can't kill me. Never going to die.
I'm not here to survive. I'm here to shine. And whether you know it or not this morning, that's exactly why you're here, to shine. And if you're trying to survive, you're not living blessed and fulfilled, because circumstances are always speaking louder than truth. And who you are and how you are is being decided by how it's going instead of who he is in you and why. I'm telling you, if you get this, it'll end animosity in your life. If you get this, you'll see beyond the things that are wrong. And you won't live in right and wrong. You'll live in righteousness. And that's how he rules his kingdom. The only reason we're sitting here with the possibility of his spirit in us is because he's righteous. That means he looks at wrong things and makes them right. He doesn't say, you're wrong. He says, you can be more. You're more than what you understand. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's what righteousness does, people. Righteousness looks at people for their value, their purpose, and their potential. Rightness looks at things and people for what you don't agree with, what ticks you off, what rubs you wrong, what gets under your skin, what frustrates you, and what you need to change in them now. And if God judged us that way, we'd have no hope. Be honest with me, church. Participate with me for a second. Who, since you've been saved, have done something you know that was outside of the highest and best in God, something that you know was outside of what he desired? Anybody in this room? Yeah? You see the multiplicity of hands? Corporate hands. Boom. Wonder if God got offended. Wonder if God just dropped the ball. Wonder if God said, after you know and you're going to turn around, man, I can't even trust you. You know what? It's good I don't slumber, because you would keep me up all night. Here's what I think we fail to understand. We put God in a category, we define him through his word, and we say, okay, that's him. But then we judge ourselves by ourselves and say, but this is us. So this is him, this is us. But he's in us. He told us to come up hither. The Christ in us is the hope of glory. He said, as I do, so will you do if you believe. As he is, so are we in this world. Any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. It's all scripture. Remember my little illustration of Jesus dropping the cross and throwing a little tantrum? You know why he can't do that? Because he's Jesus. Not because he's Jesus, because he's love. That's what he wants you and me to follow. And the Bible says, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? I've been truly concerned in my life. I think you can see it when you hear me preach. I care about this. I care about it a lot. I'm looking at an army. Are you kidding me? This is an army. I just want to encourage you. We can live this way. We can affect our city one by one. If each of you are manifesting the light, just think of the impact that has. Jonathan said, if Dan, and I appreciate, and I know he doesn't promote, but man, if he wouldn't have said yes, just look at all the fruit. Just look at the potential fruitfulness I'm looking at from this platform. If everybody would just be multiplied after Christ again and again and again, in no time, it's too many agains to be counted. We're waiting for God to pour something out, and he already did. It's called his spirit through the finished work of Christ. We're a revival. We're waiting for some awakening. Why are we sleeping? We're always send revival, God. And he's like, how about go ye therefore? Go ye therefore, and as you go. Please, Lord, come, Lord. I'm here. Look on the inside. Send your glory. I'm trying to send you. No, it's true. We're the body of Christ. It means the embodiment of Him. The expression of Him. He said, if you don't forgive the sins of people, they won't be forgiven. What's He saying? He didn't give you the sole authority of who's forgiven or not. What He's saying is, if you rightly represent Me, people will know My love and get forgiven by Me. But if you let your heart get hard and hurt and jaded and you make it all about you, how will they know My love? How will they know how I loved you if you don't walk in the way I loved you? I want to challenge you this morning, especially in your homes. And don't elbow your spouse, because I'm definitely talking to you if you elbow your spouse. No, because that's the problem. We hear a sermon and elbow our spouse, and the whole time God's talking to you. And you're listening to the sermon for the other. Don't elbow your spouse. And if you already did and they elbowed you back, I'm just talking to everybody. Would you pursue peace in your homes today? Would you make sure we never get stuck in religion, that this army actually becomes an army? That in your workplace and in your spheres of influence, the best you understand, you've been in fellowship with God, you've sought Him, you've prayed, you didn't just run out of your house in a rush and did you ever leave your house? I used to do it all the time with tension, unresolve. It wasn't clean, and you're in your car and it feels terrible. And then you're heading to work and you don't even have, and then when you come home, that thing's still there waiting in the air. And there's pressure in your home, and then you're waiting on each other to see how you're going to respond. And it's just like emotional manipulation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or was it just me that lived that way? And then it's tense, and you're feeling each other out, and you're like, hey. And if the other one's a little more humble and says, hi, welcome home. And then you're like, oh, it's all good. Yeah. But if they go, hey. Now you got issues. Now you don't know how to handle it because you take it personal. Now you have nothing in you to respond. But I'll tell you what, if you wake up this way every day, that stuff doesn't have one chance to survive in your home. I will overcome that thing in a second in my home because nobody owes me a thing and I'm not going to get rubbed wrong. You can't get under my nerves. I got new nerves. Under my skin, I mean, I got new skin. You know, people say, well, they just get on my nerves. You say, you can't tell me people don't get on your nerves at times. See? That's why people always will in your life, because there's no repentance. You believe it's normal. Wonder if you got on God's nerves. Wonder if He was biased. Wonder if He just didn't like your personality. Wonder if you just didn't fit in His little thing. That would be tragedy, wouldn't it? So why do you have a little thing that He doesn't have and never taught you to have? It's called self-centeredness. They don't fit through your little thing. Yeah? Your preferences become Lord. And they don't fit through your preferences. So you pick and choose, cut off and accept, and live in a biased world while we worship Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's deception. We've hurt each other. We've lived at the expense of each other while we go to church. And that's why we haven't been very effective in our communities. And I'm not spanking you. I'm not mad. I didn't fly here to correct any of you. I flew here to tell you who you are and tell you you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ to God the Father. And He has the highest hope for you. And your destiny is incredible in the Holy Ghost. And we ought to just come out of ourselves and come into Him like never before. And pursue peace in our homes, and pursue to manifest Him in our jobs, not complain anymore, not grumble anymore, not fight anymore, but be peacemakers. It's not weak, it's Him. Are you with me? Wonder if one person in a family decides to live this way, it'll begin to impact the whole family. My whole family was a mess. When I wasn't saved, When I wasn't saved, I was so mean and miserable that when I came home, everybody ran away from me. I'd walk in and my kids would just disappear. They wouldn't even want to be in the room because I was the way I was. So I'd come home and I'd hear them every once in a while say, "Mommy, is Daddy going to be here a long time or is he going away soon?" They would ask, and then I'd get mad at my kids for talking like that, and I'd tell them, "You ought to be glad I let you live here." I was so lost, talking to little kids like that. I was so lost. And then when I got saved and filled with God, I wasn't a preaching at them, I wasn't anything, but in time they got a little older. My wife went into some identity crisis stuff, believed a few lies, and things just got really funny in my home, and I didn't know what was even going on sometimes and how to steward it or handle it other than just stay in peace and walk in love. And my kids started springing off of some of that weakness and doing things. But here I am now, all these years later. Everybody totally loves Jesus. My wife is amazing. She's the most sensitive, kindest prayer woman you're going to meet. My kids, they love the Lord. They have amazing spouses. Everybody's incredible. He says, if you teach a child in the way they should go when they grow old, they won't depart. Teaching isn't lecturing. Teaching is living Jesus. We think telling them scripture is teaching them. The word becoming flesh is teaching them. Do you know how many young people are upset at the gospel because their parents taught them the gospel their whole life, but they weren't seeing the gospel? My son tells me he loves me and respects me because I always lived everything he ever heard me preach. He has no animosity towards his dad being on the pulpit because he doesn't hear me say anything that he hasn't experienced in his life. It makes it easy for him to receive Jesus. When he was a teenager, he was upset. He said, "I'm going to have to do Jesus because of who my dad is. Wow, everybody's expecting me to do Jesus because of my dad." And he let this weird resentment and anger, and he pushed away, and he just went off on this wild goose chase. But God brought him home. And he came to my home, knocked on my door. Hadn't talked to me for a very long time. He was on the run, but he knocked on my door. That's when you find out how well you know Jesus, when he just takes off, disregards your family, and you watch your wife cry herself to sleep most of the time. And she feels guilty and responsible because she feels like she helped empower them to make bad decisions, and now she's feeling condemned. And you're trying to minister, and you got all this going on, and all of a sudden your door knocks, and it's your boy who you haven't seen for a long, long time. That's when you find out if you really know Jesus. Because you know what a lot of Christians say? I've been in this situation with people. I've counseled. I've been involved with people's lives. They see his face and they say, "Where in the blank have you been? What do you think you're doing? You just want to show up here all of a sudden, just run off, and now you show up. What, your back's just against the wall? What, you think you need money? Do you even know what you've done to the heart of your mother?" And all they get on the porch is a lecture of why they did wrong and how wrong they did. That's what happens. Why? Because the parents are hurt. Parents are offended, disrespected, dishonored, taking it personal, because we find our identity through our families and our children instead of Christ. So we're mad at him. We're not thrilled that he's on the porch. Even in the long run, we say we are, but we got to let him know how we feel. I wonder if how you feel is how he feels. And you just look at him and say, "Hey, buddy, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here." And then he has nowhere to run and hide because he's just being loved. And he feels like I should yell at him, and I don't know how. And he said, "There's no way you can't be angry at me, Dad." I said, "I don't know how you think I can. You don't owe me a thing, son. If I cry, it's for you because you're so much more than what you're living." And he lost it. And he fell on me and sobbed. He told his mama it was a change and turning point of his life. He said, "I've never been loved that way before. I never so deserved to be corrected and didn't get corrected and got loved." He said, "Mom, that changed my life." Isn't that awesome? Here's what we said. "Well, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through, but you don't know what they did, but you don't know." Man, I'm encouraging you to throw that all away. You do not need a justification to not look like Jesus. You don't need to make people matter more than what matters most. You don't need to give them that much power in your life. You need to let Jesus be Lord. It means the governing, ruling, supreme being and factor of your life, the Lord. Are you with me? Okay. Yeah. I think I said plenty. In the beginning, God said, let us make man for our image. And in the likeness of God, he made man both male and female.
Ladies, you got the same job description. You're just as important in this thing. You're not secondhand.
You have one major main reason for being on the earth. Manifest his image. Both male and female. Because in Christ, there's neither male nor female. Why? Because in Christ, it's Christ.
You get it? Yay. Come on.
I just know we've preached and taken so many scriptures and just so misrepresented this whole beautiful plan of God. And we've gotten so theological. I think we've done a lot of damage to ourselves. I think we use scriptures like, wives, you need to submit to your husbands, and we turn it into slavery and dominion and headship and rulership and make women subservient. And the next four verses are to the husband to love her like Christ loves the church and to wash her with the water of the word, and for the man to be the man of God,
to give her something to yield and adapt to. Yeah. Man, oh man.
So here's what I'm saying. God sent his son to restore what he intended. And if we don't come into it for that reason, we won't walk in that grace. And life will be frustrating. You'll even be confused and wonder about God at times. I've met people that say they're Christians, they're mad at God. They lost a loved one and they're mad at God. Because we have this idea he owes us all the time. Somehow we painted this picture that he's here to make our lives work the way we want. And it's very self-centered. And you'll never get to know him like you could if that's your motive in life and that's the highest view of God. I was in a home group years ago and I tore the buttons off my shirt. I got so intense. I said to the group in my home, I was on my knees. There were so many people in my house. And I said, I just got it today. I got a revelation today. My life's not my own. And I was preaching. They were a little overwhelmed because I was really intense. Well, I tore my buttons off my shirt. I had my shirt like this and I was clutching it while I was talking on my knees because I had nowhere to stand or walk. So I was on my knees and I'm shuffling back and forth, turning on my knees. And I pointed to my wife. I said, you see that young lady? That's my wife. I love her so much. I understand love now. And for the first time in my life, I can look her in the eyes and know that I love her. And I said, but you take her from me. That's what I said. And then I looked at my kids and I said, they're my children. I love them. Man, they're the fruit of her womb. They're out. There's a seed of my body. And boom, boom, boom. And I said, but you strip them away from me. Take down this house and boom, 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 boom. It was a good emotional object illustration. I said, boom, boom. You take the clothes off my back. And I was so passionate. I said, but you can't stop me now because I understand why I'm alive. We can't lose if we believe. And everybody's like, I don't think we came to your house for this message, brother. I think we're all looking for our vats to be a little more full and our barns to be a little more blessed and protection over our family. Which proves that we don't really understand covenant. We're very conditional even with the Lord. We don't understand eternal life. We don't understand you cannot lose unless you get your eyes off of truth. That's how you lose. When you wake up discouraged, you're losing. When you wake up hopeless, you're losing. But the whole time you already won, because Christ is in you and wants to shine through you in the midst of it all. And one day you stand before him and wonder if he slips his hand under your feet and lifts you up before all of heaven and says, hey, this is Bob. You know, Bob in his life had many chances to break, turn, run, change his mind. And even when he lost his wife and when Bob's child got killed in that car wreck, and you know, bam, bam, bam. But Bob stood strong, kept his eyes on me, and knew one day in his heart he'd be standing here before me. So Bob didn't waver and Bob didn't move. He continued to walk in love, and people got astounded by Bob's attitude and got convicted. They began to listen to his words and got to know me through my son Bob. Here is Bob giving glory to my son, and all of heaven goes bananas because of the legacy of Bob. That sure beats, here's Bob. He was beat down and broken, and he had so much loss, and he couldn't function, and he hated me for the next 20 years, and he didn't know how to pray anymore, and he just gave up. And the whole time I was Lord, and the whole time he didn't understand and was destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Come on, I know this sounds hard and harsh, but it's the way it's in my heart. And I trust that quiet I'm hearing in my heart is a good quiet. And I hope you leave here with strong conviction that you know what? My life matters so much to God that he shed the blood of his son to put his spirit in me. He forgave me of everything I've ever done so I could have boldness and stand before him in righteousness so that I could follow him. So I'm done with anger, frustration, hurt, offense, discouragement, and everything else that's tied to me, myself, and I. And when I sing It's All About Him, I'm going to make sure it's proven by the way I live. Yeah? I'm going to give you back 5 minutes. I don't ever do that. But I'm going to pray over you all if you'll let me. Can I pray over you? You know I didn't come here to spank you, right? I hope you didn't feel corrected. I hope you felt encouraged. I'm telling you who you are and what he paid for and what he's all about. This gospel is the restoration of God's plan. And if life seems like a grind to you, it's because you're living it outside of why you're here. And you're missing the point. My mom, I got a heritage in my life. My mom so understood this. We're a family that believes in healing. I've seen lots of healings in my life. But I buried my mother to sickness. I carried her to bed when I was young. I changed my own mother's diapers. So I understand some suffering. And I never saw her healed. But you can't tell that when you see me preach. You can't tell that I lost my mother to sickness when you see my passion for God. I will never let the death of my mother be a stumbling block to my vision of God because I found him through the Son of God. I see the Father really clear. And he is good. But here's what my mother did. My mother never took on the identity of her sickness. She knew she was in the earth to shine. And she said, I will never let sickness become my identity. My mother was sick for 40 years. I don't like that. It was hard to watch. And I never once saw or heard my mother complain about her condition because she understood her life wasn't her own and she was on the earth to shine. That's phenomenal, guys. We complain if our head hurts. We complain if the car's not starting clean because we might have to get it fixed. We complain if somebody pulls out in front of us and slows us down. And she had people bathing her and changing her diapers. And when she died, nurses stood at her graveside. Two doctors stood at her graveside because they never met anyone like her. And they had to bring glory and honor and memory to a life they highly esteemed because they never met anyone like her. And I'm thinking the reason she was like that is because who was in her and he's in all of us, they should meet a lot of people like her.
So why don't we just go on after today like never before and make it a point
to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, release people right now from hurts, pains, unresolved conflicts. Teach us how easy it is to just let it go today in our hearts, God. And I pray for peace. And I pray for oneness in homes. Listen, if you're in a marriage and you're sitting here with your spouse right now, and it hasn't been really that great at home, and you're not relating to what I'm saying other than, wow, I can hear the flip side, the latter side, the part that we're not created for. Yeah, we've spent plenty of time there. Would you be bold right now? I'm telling you, I've got so many testimonies. I see how God does this stuff. I'm so confident that He'll move. You just reach over and initiate grabbing their hand right now. And spouse, if they grab your hand, please don't pull it out of their hand. Just let them take your hand. And by taking their hand, what you're saying to them is, you know what, I haven't lived what this man's preaching, but I want you to know I'm listening, and I'm not listening for you. I'm listening for me. And by taking your hand, I'm telling you, I wish I'd have lived different in the last few, whatever. But I'm letting you know I've listened to this man today. Would you give me the honor and the privilege of the chance for change and loving you? And if they do take your hand and you have that same heart in you and you're saying, man, no, I could take their hand. They already grabbed mine. You just squeeze their hand a little bit just to let them know, yeah, I'm hearing you and I feel the same way. This is a new day. This is the beginning of the rest of our days. Present. And things to come. Father, would you heal marriages all over this house? Would you erase animosity and unresolved conflicts? God, would you take every hurt and every layer of unresolved conflict off the heart and eyes of any person that's married in this room? Would you give us the fresh ability to see each other clear as if there's never been trouble? Would you let us today look through your eyes? Let change be dramatic in the homes of this church. Let the children see it and rejoice. God, I thank you for restoration in home fronts. Father, let your grace rest on all of us as we pursue you to walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.